It's nearly 12 o'clock, and time for the KMXT Midday Report. Thank you for listening to KMXT. On 100.1 FM, it's your public radio station. We're broadcasting from up here on Signal Hill in Kodiak, Alaska, where it's overcast and 28 degrees. Winds from the west at 15, gusting to 23 out at the airport right now. We're expecting more gusty winds today and tonight, as well as some isolated snow showers. Partly sunny skies are expected later this afternoon with a high near 32. Northwest wind to 30, gusting to 45 today. For tonight, a 20% chance of snow after 3 a.m. Partly cloudy skies tonight with a low around 21. Those northwest winds to 45, gusting to 60 tonight. Coming up on the Midday Report, Kodiak Island Borough School District Superintendent Larry Ledoux has announced his retirement. Time is running out to spend CARES Act money, and this is proving to be a problem for some Alaska Native corporations. And Lieutenant Governor Kevin Meyer is in hot water with his own party because of last year's election. Those stories and more after these national headlines.
Live from NPR News, I'm Lakshmi Singh. Inflation's hit a near 40-year high in the United States, the Labor Department confirming prices surged 6.8% last month. But President Biden is telling Americans they're likely to start seeing inflation drop rapidly from this point, especially, he says, if Congress approves $1.75 trillion to help millions of Americans pay significantly less for childcare, health care, prescription drugs, and other costs.
Most of the economists are saying this Build Back Better bill is not going to increase inflation. It will diminish inflation. It has a negative impact on inflation.
But the ranking Republican on the Senate Budget Committee, Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, says that the Congressional Budget Office now estimates Build Back Better would add $3 trillion to the deficit if social programs are extended for 10 years. Democrats accuse the GOP of misleading the public. In a rare display of bipartisanship, political leaders gathered together at Washington National Cathedral to honor an iconic statesman, former Senator Bob Dole. Dole was a decorated World War II veteran. He served 36 years in Congress. He was also a GOP presidential candidate. NPR's Windsor Johnston has more on today's remembrances of the lawmaker from Kansas, who died Sunday at the age of 98.
In a tribute to the late senator, President Biden remarked on Dole's resilience and strength, reflecting on his service to the nation in both politics and on the battlefield.
A second lieutenant named Bob Dole, who became Congressman Dole, Senator Dole, statesman, husband, father, friend, colleague, and a word that's often overused but not here, a genuine hero.
Dole was awarded two Purple Hearts and a Bronze Star after he was severely wounded in combat at the end of World War II. He went on to use much of his political career to advocate for veterans and Americans with disabilities. Windsor Johnston, NPR News, Washington.
In Germany, the new chancellor is making the rounds in Brussels. Terry Schultz has details.
German Chancellor Olaf Scholz's first foreign visit was to Paris, as is tradition, but his second day in office was spent visiting the European Union and NATO. With EU Commission President Ursula von der Leyen, a fellow German, Scholz pledged that his country, Europe's largest economy, would help build the bloc's unity. Schultz speaks here through an interpreter.
German politics cannot stand at the side and simply comment on what's going on. No, it has to take on a role of responsibility for our joint progress.
Schultz says he's deeply concerned about Russian troops on the Ukrainian border and will make clear to Moscow that there's a price to be paid for aggression. For NPR News, I'm Terry Schultz in Brussels.
This is NPR News.
NPR News is presentada a usted en parte por la Providence Kodiak Island Centro de Asesoramiento. Para una cita o más información, por favor, llama al 907-481-2400.
Kodiak Island Borough School District Superintendent Larry Ledoux has announced he'll step down at the end of the school year after 44 years in education. Ledoux sent a letter to parents and students announcing his retirement Friday. He says, quote, "Throughout these years, I've been privileged to witness thousands of children discover their visions for themselves and their lives, grow into their infinite potential, and accomplish their dreams," close quote. He says he can't imagine a more fulfilling way to spend his career. Ledoux was hired as superintendent in 2017. He served for a decade as principal of Kodiak's North Star Elementary before he was tapped as former Governor Sarah Palin's education commissioner in 2008. He later served as a Kodiak borough assemblyman. It's unclear who will replace Ledoux when he retires in June. Ledoux could not be reached for comment for this story. The deadline for spending COVID relief funds from the CARES Act comes at the end of the month, and the Alaska delegation to Congress is scrambling for an extension, particularly for Alaska Native corporations. Their CARES Act distribution was delayed by a lawsuit that the Supreme Court finally resolved this summer. Now, barring an extension, the corporations will have just 3 weeks to find an authorized way to spend the money, and in some cases, they're running into a spending logjam. Alaska Public Media's Liz Ruskin has this report.
The Treasury Department distributed nearly $500 million from the CARES Act to Alaska Native corporations, including the 12 regionals and almost 200 village corporations. The corporations didn't get their money until August or later.
Probably 40 to 60% of our members are still struggling to even get the infrastructure set up to deploy the money, and there's just not going to be enough time to do it responsibly given the guardrails that they have around what you can spend it on.
Hallie Bissett directs the Alaska Native Village Corporation Association. She says the money arrived too late in the season for most villages to bring in equipment or building materials by barge. And according to CARES Act rules, a corporation can't beat the deadline by merely buying supplies.
Things have to be in service before the 31st, for instance. That adds its own complexities when you're not even able to get supplies to your village. And that's just regular Alaska supply chain issues. You add on top of that there's a kind of a supply chain crisis going on at the same time.
The Native corporations are a small part of CARES Act spending. The 2020 law delivered billions to states, local governments, and tribes. At first, the deadline was the end of 2020, so every governing body was in a big hurry to use or lose its money. Many of Alaska's tribes disbursed the bulk of their CARES Act allocation directly to their members to cover their pandemic needs. So some of the easy spending opportunities were already taken by the time corporations got their share. Consider the dilemma of Stebbins Village Corporation. Stebbins is a community of about 600 on Norton Sound. In August, the village corporation got about $250,000 from the CARES Act. With only a few months to spend it, the fastest thing would have been to distribute it to shareholders. But by then, the Stebbins tribe had already received close to $10 million in COVID relief money. Keith Trick is a consultant for Stebbins Village Corporation.
So the first thing that happens is the tribes were given the opportunity to allocate funds to tribal members to help them as individuals. Well, the thing is, you can't go and double dip.
If a household applied to the tribe for CARES money to buy laptops so their kids could attend school, and then got money from the regional corporation to pay the internet bill, that household couldn't get CARES money from the village corporation for the same things. Trick says it's left the village corporations hunting to find documented needs the larger organizations missed.
You begin to see that there's an administrative, almost a conundrum, that's very difficult for anybody without a major administrative capacity.
What's so frustrating, Trick says, is the corporation did spend resources on pandemic needs, but in the thick of things, nobody kept track of, say, how many days a worker at the village store spent packaging food baskets to distribute to households on lockdown.
And there's much more need. Stebbins needs a water and sewer system. The Village Corporation has equipment it could deploy to help build it, but not if the deadline is in 3 weeks. Big regional corporations are up against the deadline, too. Cook Inlet Region Incorporated got $112 million from the CARES Act. The money arrived in August. Senior Director of Corporate Affairs Ethan Tyler says Siri has spent some of it to meet the immediate household needs of its shareholders and their descendants. Tyler says Siri would like to fund larger efforts to meet long-term needs.
But we're facing kind of this perfect storm of supply chain interruptions and labor shortages, and all of this against the backdrop of a deadline that we're trying to meet while remaining in compliance with the law.
The U.S. House and Senate have each passed bills to move the deadline to the close of next year. But the bills are different. Senator Murkowski says she's working the phones to get both houses of Congress to pass the same extension before the deadline falls at year's end. Reporting from Washington, I'm Liz Ruskin.
In Alaska, the lieutenant governor oversees elections, and the current holder of the office, Kevin Meyer, has been the focus of criticism from conservatives who are unhappy with how last year's election was conducted. Between now and June 1st, Governor Mike Dunleavy must decide whether or not to keep Meyer as his running mate. Alaska Public Media and KTOO's Andrew Kitchenman has this report.
Lieutenant Governor Kevin Meyer says he's running to finish the work he started over the past 3 years.
You want to make sure that the lieutenant governor, the second in command, is able and willing and can step up without any difficulty. And I think my 30 years in elected office gives me that experience that so far I haven't seen any other lieutenant governor candidates have.
Meyer previously served in the state Senate and House, as well as the Anchorage Assembly. In the past, a lieutenant governor candidate's decision whether to seek election was theirs alone. In 2018, Meyer defeated five rivals for the Republican nomination to join a ticket with Dunleavy, who separately won the primary for governor. But under ballot measure 2, approved by voters last year, candidates for lieutenant governor will be running mates chosen by the candidates for governor. Governor Mike Dunleavy is facing that decision right now, while many conservatives who voted for the Dunleavy-Meyer ticket are deeply critical of how Meyer oversaw the 2020 election. One of them is Matanuska-Susitna borough resident Dave Maxwell. He's a retired electrician who prepared an online petition that calls for an audit of the last election with a focus on ballot measure 2.
Kevin Meyer and his staff have lost the trust, the faith. They have lost faith in terms of this citizenship. We don't trust them anymore.
He says there were many things wrong with the election. They include the state's use of Dominion Voting Systems machines to count ballots. Maxwell emphasizes that Alaskans told Meyer about their concerns with Dominion well before the election. And Maxwell wants an election audit to go deeper than the recount Meyer ordered of ballot measure 2. Maxwell wants investigators to take steps like examining whether the ballots that were counted were really ballots.
How about a forensic audit? We treat this thing like a crime scene, not just go back and just, well, 1, 2, 3. I'm sorry, that's not what we're looking for. We suspect a crime scene just like they have seen in Michigan, Wisconsin, and Florida, just to name a few.
Maxwell would like to see Dunleavy drop Meyer from the ticket, but he also says Dunleavy, who he once supported, should drop out of the election as well. He says there were many reasons, including Dunleavy's handling of COVID-19. Across the country, conservative supporters of former President Donald Trump have been demanding state and local audits of the 2020 ballots and questioning the use of Dominion machines. Nonpartisan voting experts say state officials overseeing elections are under attack nationally based on lies told by Trump and people surrounding him. David Becker heads the nonprofit Center for Election Innovation and Research based in Washington, D.C. Becker has done work for Alaska and other state governments on election accessibility and security.
The 2020 election, by any objective measure, was the most secure election in American history and in every state's history.
He says Alaska had a very successful election and credited Meyer with handling it, as well as post-election concerns, in a fair way. Becker notes that investigators have disproved allegations against Dominion machines repeatedly. Meyer says every allegation made regarding Alaska's election has been investigated or is under investigation. He encourages those who have questions about the process to become election workers or observers. But he also says some concerns reflect misinformation voters have gotten.
We were geared up for the misinformation coming from international sources, but what has surprised me the most and probably caught me off guard the most was the misinformation we're getting from domestic sources.
Meyer says that Dominion machines were chosen based on the state procurement processes and that the machines aren't tied to the internet. And he notes that the recount of ballot measure 2 did not change the outcome. Regarding his relationship with the person who will decide whether he remains on the ticket, Meyer says that he and Dunleavy have a relationship that's typical for a lieutenant governor and governor. When asked whether Dunleavy has told him whether he plans to have him be his running mate, Meyer says this.
Oh, yes, yes. He has asked me, and I said yes. Things may happen between now and June 1st, but as of right now, we're running as a team.
In response to questions about Dunleavy's plans for the ticket, the governor and Meyer issued a joint statement on Wednesday saying that they will be making an announcement before the holidays. In Juneau, I'm Andrew Kitchenman.
The Anchorage Assembly will soon take public comment on an ordinance with a proposed change to the city's elections code. Among the changes is a registration period for election observers. Candidates for office and political organizations are allowed one poll watcher and one observer at polling locations and up to four observers at a return location, in Anchorage's case, the election center. Under the proposed changes, people wanting to register to be an election observer would need to turn in a form between 62 and 30 days before a regular election. At Tuesday night's assembly meeting, Mayor Dave Bronson said the changes would reduce transparency in elections.
A close examination of these proposed changes shows that the public and candidates' ability to observe the election process will be significantly restricted.
Assembly Chair Suzanne LaFrance countered that statement, saying that the Municipal Clerk's Office takes up proposed election code changes every year. She says the recommended changes do not change how many election observers are allowed, nor does it change the times observers can be at the election center.
Nor does the proposed ordinance change the requirement for observer training, the reasons why an observer may be asked to leave an election location, or the MOA election team's commitment to ensuring that observers understand the election process and showing them all aspects of that process.
In a report sent out after the certification of Bronson's victory in the mayoral runoff election in May, municipal clerks described, quote, unprecedented harassment, close quote, from observers at the election center, including taking photos of election officials walking to their cars, threatening comments, and the spread of false election information on blogs and talk radio programs. Other updates in the ordinance could include changes to observer requirements and clarifying changes to the code's language. The assembly would take in-person public testimony on the ordinance at two meetings this month.
This is Alaska Fish Radio. I'm Lainey Welch. Learn about rockfish by playing cards. More on Go Fish after this.
The Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute provides digital and print marketing materials to the Alaska seafood industry. Find thousands of stunning photos, video footage, and sales tools at alaskaseafood.org.
Learning about rockfish is literally getting into people's hands in the form of playing cards.
When you go on boats, when you travel, there's typically a deck of cards on board, you know, to keep people busy. This is a way to really bridge a gap between our sport and commercial fisheries regulations.
Andrew Olson is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game Groundfish and Shellfish Coordinator for the Southeast Region. He helped design the deck of cards as part of a statewide initiative to better align management between sport and commercial users, especially with black and yellow-eye rockfish. The playing cards are part of an aggressive outreach campaign to educate Alaskans in general.
Rockfish life history, how to properly identify them, and really communicate about our deep water release device and how that can reduce barotrauma.
Starting last year, all saltwater anglers are required to use so-called descender gear to prevent rockfish from dying from decompression trauma that practically turns them inside out.
So they must have a functioning deep water release mechanism on board, and all rockfish not harrison must be released at a depth of capture or at a depth of 100 feet.
The Two of Hearts card describes deep release devices. The deck also includes 48 of the rockfish species found in Alaska. Did you know that rough-eye rockfish, the 10 of spades, can live to be 200 years old? And Ray Troll's artwork adorns the jokers.
One says rockfish, paper, scissors, and then another one looks like a black rockfish with rock highlighted because it has a guitar.
30,000 decks were made. The rockfish cards are available for free at Fish and Game offices around the state. Find links and videos at AlaskaFishRadio.com. Fish Radio is also brought to you by OBI Seafoods, serving Alaska's fishing communities since 1910. In Kodiak, I'm Lainey Welch.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Good afternoon and welcome to your Island Messenger for Friday. It is the 10th day of December, the year 2021. The sun rose today at 9:42. It will set again promptly at 4:22, giving us 6 hours and 40 minutes of daylight, a loss of 1 minute and 41 seconds compared to yesterday. Our record high for this date was 48, set in 2019, and our record low was 4 degrees, set in 1975. Currently 28 degrees out at the airport. Isolated snow showers are called for before 1 p.m. So far, we haven't seen much snow. They're still saying we might see some partly sunny skies this afternoon with a high near 32. Northwest winds gusting to 45 today, and they are going to continue to blow tonight as well. 35 to 45, gusting as high as 60 tonight. A 20% chance of snow after 4 a.m. tonight. We might have areas of blowing snow. Partly cloudy tonight with a low of 21. Looking at our local tides, we have a low tide coming up here on the east side in just a few minutes. That's going to happen at 12:40 p.m. and be 3.4 feet. The next high tide will be at 6:31 p.m. and be 7.5 feet. Our low tide for the middle of the night will be at 1:14 a.m. and be 9/10 of a foot. And our tomorrow morning high tide on the east side will be at 8:11 a.m. and be 7.5 feet. Over on the west side, you have a low tide coming up at 1:27 this afternoon. That will be a 5.3-foot tide in Larsen Bay. On the high tide side, you'll have one at 7:02 this afternoon, an 11.3-foot tide. Your low tide for the middle of the night will be at 1:48 a.m. and be 1.9 feet. And your high tide for tomorrow morning on the west side will happen at 8:30 a.m. and be 12 feet. Serious weather offshore Kodiak Island or Marmot Island to Sitkanak off Kodiak's east side. Storm warning tonight and Saturday, and a heavy freezing spray warning for tonight and Saturday as well. For today, west winds to 45 knots with freezing spray, seas to 21 feet. For tonight, northwest 50, gusting to 60, seas to 19 feet with heavy freezing spray. And for Saturday, northwest 55 knots, seas to 20 feet with heavy freezing spray on our east side. Over on the west side in the Shelikof Strait, storm warning through Saturday, heavy freezing spray warning through Saturday as well. For today, northwest 50, gusting to 60 out of bays and passes, seas to 10 feet with heavy freezing spray. For tonight in the Shelikof, northwest 50, gusting to 70 out of bays and passes, seas to 11 feet with heavy freezing spray. And for tomorrow, northwest 50, gusting to 65 out of bays and passes, seas to 11 feet with heavy freezing spray in the Shelikof tomorrow. Well, do you have old electronic waste hiding in your closets, basements, office storerooms, maybe just right out on the coffee table? This Friday, that's today, December 9th and 10th, well, it's the 10th, drop off your electronics at the public boat launch at Dog Bay. That's going on until 3 p.m. today, so you still have a couple more hours to do that. Large appliances, medical equipment, and smoke detectors are not accepted, but bring your microwaves, computers, wires, what have you. The event is sponsored by the Kodiak Area Native Association, Matson, and Zender Environmental. But again, until 3 p.m. today at the boat launch in Dog Bay, bring your electronics that you need to get rid of. Kodiak Island Borough meetings going on. For Monday, the Consolidation Committee is having a meeting. That's happening at 6:30 p.m. in the Borough Conference Room. Next Tuesday, the Fire Protection Area Number 1 is having their board meeting. That's happening at the Bayside Fire Hall at 6:30 p.m. on Tuesday. And it's time to come audition for the Kodiak Arts Council's musical theater production. Actually, let's see. This audition's... No, that's right. Teen and adult performers auditioning for The Little Mermaid can go to North Star Elementary at 5 p.m. today. If you are a preteen, you should have auditioned yesterday, 4:30 to 6:30. But for more information, call the Arts Council at 942-5840. The Kodiak Hospital Auxiliary have put up the Angels of Love holiday trees at the hospital. Each angel placed on the trees bears the name of a person being honored or remembered. The angels remain on the trees throughout the holiday season and can be attained for a $10 donation. All donations are placed in the Auxiliary Scholarship Fund to offer scholarships for individuals pursuing a career in the healthcare field. You can make your donation at the hospital admissions desk or stop by their table at Safeway next Saturday, not tomorrow, but Saturday, December 18th, from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. The Miniature Quilt Show and Bake Sale is happening tomorrow. That's happening at the St. James the Fisherman's Church. And that goes on from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Enter your miniature quilts for show or sale. Quilt dimensions should be close to 30 by 30 or smaller. There's a prize for best in show, and you can enter up to 5 miniature quilts per entry fee. That entry fee is only $10. Contact Ellen Lester for more information at 942-3868. And you need to get those quilts in by today, between 4 and 6 p.m. Again, that number to call, 942-3868. Also tomorrow, the featured artists at the Aleutic Museum will be Stacy Studebaker and Judy Kidder. St. Herman's Sisterhood Bake Sale is going on tomorrow. That's happening 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. All your favorites will be there. Pierog, potato salad, pastries, piroshki, pies, tea cakes, they have it all. That's happening at the Holy Resurrection Orthodox Cathedral on Kashevarov Avenue. Notice is hereby given. There will be a Board of Education special meeting on Tuesday, December 14th. That begins at 1 p.m. in the District Services Conference Room. That's F-140 of the old high school wing. The meeting will be also streamed through BlueJeans. Meeting login information is posted on the Kodiak Island Borough School District website and the Board of Education tab. For more information, call Bianca at 486-7566. The Holiday Bells concert is going on Sunday. Isle Bells and their much-anticipated annual concert. It's happening Sunday at the Gerald C. Wilson Auditorium. They're having two shows, one at 4 p.m. with Father Christmas and one at 7 p.m. Tickets, $12 only.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT 3 times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m., during the Midday Report at 12:20, and in the evening at 7 o'clock. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.